Father God, we come to you this morning and we acknowledge that you are wonderful, that you are everything we are not. And so God, this morning we ask that you would take our worship, take our focus, take everything that we have. We lay it at your feet, Lord. And so we ask that you would accept that as a pleasing aroma to you. God, we ask that you would take your words and make them come through my mouth this morning as we look at scriptures. In your name we pray. Amen. Hey, everybody. Good morning. It is great to see you guys. Some of you guys I wasn't expecting to see, so it's like double great for some of you guys. So that's pretty awesome. I know right now we've got people on vacation. We've got people that don't know how to walk. Amen. That's fantastic. We've got people that are homesick. We've got people all over the place. And so I'm super grateful that we have the technology that allows us to do the to have people at home, to have people wherever you are. So we want to welcome you guys wherever you are as part of our extended spiritual family this morning. And so I'm just super grateful for that. We also have our kids that have gone back to their class. And listen, adults, you're missing out because Sherry is awesome. She only comes out every once in a while. And so today, the kids get to experience something amazing with Sherry Bixler. Hey, we are in a series right now where we are learning as a church. We're learning, we're reminding ourselves what we believe. And we're in this series. I love this series because it gives me an opportunity as your pastor to kind of hit on some very specific items that maybe we don't normally hit on as easily, right? And so, like, for instance, how often do you hear a sermon on the word regeneration, like we talked about last week, right? Like, many times the concepts of what we're talking about in this series are spread throughout Scripture, but we don't take a lot of time to just kind of focus in on them. And so I really love the opportunity that we have to do this. And I love it as a church. I love going through this because it gives us a chance to confirm what we once believed and make sure it still kind of lines up with where we are today, right? Make sure that the people that originally wrote this statement, make sure that we still agree with the things that they wrote, right? And sometimes we're reminded why we're here, right? Like, as we're going through this study, my hope is that we might be reminded why we're here, why we come to church, why we're Christians. And maybe it will ignite a little bit of renewed love between you and the Lord. That's one of the goals that we have here. Kind of like, think about it as taking a moment with your spouse and telling your spouse why you married them. Right? Like, that's an encouraging thing to do. And so it's kind of that same concept. We're telling the Lord, this is why we're here, and we're learning and we're growing and we're understanding a little bit more. And so in the course of doing that, we're going over the doctrine of Leaf River Baptist Church. Now, the word doctrine, that word is a big and kind of boring sounding word, if we're honest. The word doctrine. And so I've been attempting over the last few weeks to remind us how important doctrine is, why doctrine is important, and really how exciting doctrine can be. Like, it can be exciting as we learn. I even gave us a definition of doctrine so that we're all on the same page, okay? Doctrine is a set of guiding principles. Hey, somebody can read. let's try that again. All right. Doctrine is a set of guiding principles. There you go. And we all have twists and turns in life, right? Like, that's just something that happens. And I know I say this every week, but I know for a fact this week there have been some twists and turns in life that you weren't prepared for, that you didn't know were going to come. And when they hit, you were faced with, what do I do now? How do I function? How do I move forward now, right? Like, I know that's happened because here's the thing. I actually talk to you guys, and so I know that there's more than one person, there's multiple people here this week that have been through some twists and turns of life, right? And my hope is as we go through doctrine, we're going to understand, hey, when I'm faced with that twist, here's what I do. Here's why I believe what I believe in, because it helps me understand how to live my life, right? And we're reminded of doctrine to be able to help us deal with the things that we're going to deal with, right? For instance, a few weeks ago, we talked about the Holy Spirit and the personhood of the Holy Spirit. We talked about how the Holy Spirit has chosen to give you gifts to be able to serve others and to be able to glorify God. We talked about that. We were reminded about that. And then last week we talked about how the Holy Spirit chose to exchange your dead spirit for Christ's live spirit, right? And we talked about that's an exchange that happens the moment you submit your life to the Lord. And so we're seeing things happen, and we're seeing that doctrine gives us the truth to be able to deal with those things and to be able to understand. It kind of gives us a worldview. It kind of gives us a lens through which to see the world around us, right? But that's not all. Like, there's practical application, but even more than that, there's a godly mandate that we should actually know what we believe. Remember in 1 Peter 3:15, this is kind of the key verse for this series, 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. Always being prepared for what? Answer, always being prepared for what? What are we always prepared for? To give an answer, right? We always have to be prepared to give a defense, to give an answer to those people around us that are asking questions about why do you believe this about God? What do you believe about God, right? Like, you have to be ready to be able to give that answer. And many times you need to be prepared to answer the question that you have in your mind, right? When you're faced with a really, really hard situation and you say, why do I keep doing this? Why do I believe that God is good? I want you to be able to say, well, this is why I believe God is good, because scripture says it and because I see it all the time, right? So learning why you believe something is just as important as learning what you believe. I don't want you to believe anything that I say. You could probably just leave it right there. I don't want you to believe anything that I say just because I say it. I want you to believe what I'm saying because it's found in God's word. And here's the thing, and I said this before, but if I ever say something that's separate from God's word, then that's when you fire me and send me away, okay? Now, let me rephrase that, because I know I say a lot of things. If I ever say anything from this pulpit that's separate from, some of you guys are going to be like sitting there with a tape recorder, okay. He said a joke, so we can, no. So it's important for us to know God's word so that we can understand if something we've heard is actually in line with God's word or if it's in line with something else. That's why we're reading through the scriptures this year. There's a ton of people that are reading through the scriptures this year. And if you're reading along with our plan, we're in Jeremiah. And it's so cool to be able to see God's promises time and time again to the Israelites, even when they fade, when they do the things that Israelites do, and then God continues to promise them and continues to fulfill his. It's so cool to see that, because God didn't give up on them. And here's the thing, God didn't give up on them, and God doesn't give up on us either, right? Now, we need to take a look at this next doctrine, the doctrine we're going to look at this morning, because I want us to continue to grow as a church and together, right, as believers. And so today what we're going to look at is, what is a church? Now, I'm going to ask this question, and I want to ask anybody, if anybody here this morning can tell us what a church is. Anybody have any ideas on what a church is? What do you got? Yeah, it's people, believers that believe in Christ. That's right. That's fantastic. So let's take a look really quick. Let's take that and let's take a look at what we believe as a church. So this morning we're going to look at, obviously we're going to look at the doctrine of the church. And it's a really interesting topic to think about the church, to think about the doctrine of the church, to think about what the church does, who the church is, what we're supposed to be doing. And every year or so, or maybe every other year, I do a series either called Be the Church or We Are the Church, where we take about, 3 to 4 weeks and we talk about what the church is. And we kind of dive into what the church should be doing, right? And every year we talk about that. And so it's a nice reminder for us all. So today really is kind of just going to be a little bit of, it's a one sermon. It's just going to be kind of a recap of a lot of those things, right? And listen, these are really encouraging when we get to look at our doctrines, at what we believe. So let's take a look at that, what LRBC believes. It's going to be on the screen here. It says, we believe in the universal church, a living spiritual body of which Christ is the head and all regenerated persons are members. We believe in the local church consisting of a company of believers in Jesus Christ, baptized on a credible profession of faith and associated for worship, work, and fellowship. We believe that God has laid upon the members of the local church the primary task of giving the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. So we look at that, and there's a couple of things that really, they kind of pop out, things that are really important. First of all, we see that there's two different types of churches. There's two types of churches. There's a universal and there's a local that's looked at there. And so we're going to look at these separately, right? And so we're going to look at the universal church. We're going to start off with the universal church. And the universal, if you've ever heard me say something like the capital C church, well, that's the universal church. That's the big church. That's the all believers of all time church, right? That's what the universal church is. And so if you ever hear me say capital C church or large church or big church or something like that, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about LRBC when I'm saying that. I'm talking about the universal church that is under God the Father. Now we saw how the universal church is made up of everyone that has been regenerated by the Holy Spirit. So in other words, the universal church is all Christians of all time. And this is how I said it. I had to write a document, and this is what I said a few years ago. I believe that the church is the universal body of believers who have received the regenerative work of the Holy Spirit. This is to include all the redeemed of all ages, believers from every tribe and tongue, and people from every nation. So my question, how did I get that wording? How did I get that idea of what the universal church is? Well, let's look at a couple of passages and I'll show you. Revelations chapter 7, verse 9 says this. After I looked and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hand. A great multitude. There's too many to number. In other words, as Revelations is telling us about this, about all of those that have come before us, we learn that there are people in every tribe, of every nation, everywhere, of every language, that have believed in Christ. We have another passage in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. We look at faith, and it says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. God commending him by accepting his gifts. God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. That's weird. Through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. You see, even though Abel died, this passage tells us that he still speaks. In other words, Abel is physically dead, right? He was murdered by his brother. Abel is physically dead, but because of his faith, he's alive as part of the universal church. So Abel, way, 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 way back in the beginning, in like Genesis 5, I think, way back there, even though he's dead, he's alive as part of the universal church. Because the universal church is not simply those who have faith today in Leaf River, right? The universal church is all believers of all time. All believers of all time. All of those that experienced the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. We talked about that word regeneration last week, and that was the big word for salvation, the big word for exchanging your dead spirit for Christ's live spirit, right? So all the universal church is all believers of all time who've experienced the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. So if we know what the universal church is, what's the point of the universal church? Like, why does the universal church exist? What is the universal church supposed to do? Well, Jesus specifically gave his last command to the universal church. You see, when he was up with his apostles, he was about to leave. He was about to ascend into the heavenly places. When he was up there, here's what he said to these men. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Go and make example, or go and make disciples. That's what the universal church is supposed to do. Go and make disciples. So the question is, how does the universal church do that? How does the universal church, the big C church, the all Christians of all time, how does that group of people go and make disciples? Well, that's where the next group comes in. That's where the local church comes in. And so we're going to look at the local church. And when we think about the local church, here's what I don't want you to think of. And I know that this could be something that someone could think of, but I don't want you to think of McDonald's or your local gas station that's part of like a bigger corporation, right? We're not like a chain of churches. We're not like a, what are they called? Franchise. Yes, we're not a church franchise, right? We are a local body of believers. Okay, so what I want you to see is a local expression right here in Leaf River of what's already happening globally, everywhere, all over the place. This is what's happening. There are people just like us today in every part of the world. Now, in some parts of the world, they're having to meet a little bit more deceptively. They're having to meet a little bit more quietly so that those various governments don't arrest them or kill them, right? But everywhere, all over the world, there are people doing exactly what we're doing here today. In other words, here's the thing. Here's the local church and the universal church. We're connected, but we're not connected by obligation. We're connected by identity. Okay? We're not connected because we have to be, because, you know, we have to connect with each other so that we're all a church. No. We're connected because that's who we are. It's our identity. And there are some members of the local church or some members of the universal church that may go to a church that we don't agree with. I don't know if you know this or not, but there are some members of the universal church that would be members of things like the Catholic Church or the Lutheran Church or any other church. Name your church. There are people in the universal church that are part of, they're everywhere. We're everywhere. Christians are everywhere. We're not just in little, you know, Baptist churches. I don't know if you guys know, I grew up, I believed that like we were the only Christians. That's what it was. But the thing is, there are Christians in every church. And then again, there may be some here this morning that aren't a part of the universal church. Because you're still kind of trying to figure it out, right? You're kind of trying to understand what church really is. So you see, the universal church is who we are, Christians. The local church is how we experience that. Universal church is who we are. The local church is how we are. Okay? The local church was organized at an event called the Pentecost. Okay? This was after Jesus died, after Jesus went up into heaven. And this event, the Pentecost, is talked about in Acts chapter 2. So I'm going to read you just a short section of that. You guys should read all of Acts 2 on your own time. You're going to think it's really cool. But Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, there were all together in one place. They were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is an amazing story, an insane story, because here's what happened. There were Jewish people from all over the Roman region speaking different languages. I don't know if you guys know this, but Jews, they would actually have some different languages. And so you had people that spoke a wide variety of languages, and they were all there together in Jerusalem. And so they, you know, if someone that speaks Portuguese comes in here right now, they're not going to understand what I'm saying. So here's what God did in order to fix that. He this was a miraculous thing, and frankly, we don't understand it, but he sent down the Holy Spirit in those men that were preaching, and there was this like fire tongue thing sitting on there. It's really sci-fi, but it's also scripture. It's awesome. And so that's what happened. And suddenly, all of those people in the crowd, all of those thousands and thousands of people out there, suddenly they could understand what was being preached to them. How awesome is that? Like, that's amazing. Could you imagine if you have ever felt the Spirit of the Lord in your life, which I hope that you have? Can you imagine being there that day and experiencing this right, this wind and this fire coming down? And maybe you're a little scared, but then suddenly you start understanding what they're preaching, and you understand now that Jesus died and rose again. And so then later that day, as you finish reading Acts, then you'll see later that day, 3,000 people committed their life to the Lord. 3,000 people. And that was the beginning of the church. And those 3,000 people, they all spread out into back to where they lived, and they brought the church into their communities. That's what they did. That was the beginning of the local church. And as they scattered through the world to meet together into local assemblies. And this idea of meeting together, I just want to be clear, it's really important. I know we've talked about this. We want to be together, not just on Sunday mornings, but through the week. We have Bible studies through the week, and we want to actually be together. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says this: not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day draw near. Now, I'm gonna say a few things today. Might ruffle a couple of feathers, but that's okay. Here's the thing. Ladies' Bible study is on Wednesday night. Some of you ladies signed up to be a part of that Bible study. A large group actually signed up to be part of that Bible study. A small group actually attends that Bible study. Let me just say that. Now, let me say this. Men, don't think you're off the hook, because every single month we have a men's breakfast with a Bible study, and there's like 3 people signed up to attend that. Every single month, the second Saturday of every single month. So not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. See, here's the thing. The local church is the gathering of the universal church. The local church, this right here, when we have our Bible studies, when we have our small group, wherever our small groups are located at, that the local church is the gathering of the universal church. But it's more than just an event, right, that happens a few times each week. The local church has leadership and it has functions. The local church, as prescribed in Scripture, has specific things that we're supposed to do and a specific way that we're supposed to do it, right? And so the local church has leadership, has functions. For instance, within the local church, there are two offices. There are two positions within the local church, right? There's the pastor and the elders, okay? That's kind of one, really. Pastor is an elder. There's one position there. And then there's the deacons. Pastor and elders, and then there's the deacons. And we read about this throughout Titus, and I've taught about this. If you go back to 2019, I think that was the We Are the Church series. We did a series through Titus where we talked about this. And then there's two main actions or two main ordinances that we're supposed to participate in as a church, that we're supposed to do together within the local church. And those two ordinances are baptism and communion, or some would know that as Lord's Supper. And one of those things we're going to participate in today, we're going to participate later this morning in the Lord's Supper. But both of those things, both of those events, both of those ordinances are equally important. Now, I want to spend a moment talking about the last part of our statement of faith here this morning, because I think we all agree. I think we all agree on everything. I think we're good. There's two offices. There's the pastor and elders, and then there's the deacons. There's baptism. There's communion. Now, we do communion every single month, at least once a month. We do baptisms as often as you're ready to participate in a baptism, right? But I want to talk for a couple of minutes about the last part of the statement. And I just want to check. I just want us to double check and make sure that it still applies to us right here in 2023 Leaf River, right here. And so here's what it says, the last part. We believe that God has laid upon the members of the local church the primary task of giving the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost world. And my question is this true? Can we affirm as a church, can you affirm as an individual, is this a true statement? Is this something we still should be adopting as part of our statement of faith in 2023? Do we as a church really believe those words that God has laid upon the members of this church, the primary task of giving the gospel? Because here's the thing, listen, if we don't believe these words, then we really should take them out of our statement of faith, shouldn't we? Because we shouldn't have anything in our statement of faith that we don't actually believe. So do we believe these things? So let's take a look at Scripture and let's see what Scripture says, because really that's the way we understand anything, right? So let's take a look at what Scripture says, because maybe those that gathered together 30, 35, 40 years ago to write this statement of faith, maybe they misunderstood Scripture. So let's just double check and make sure that this actually is what it says, right? That this actually is what Scripture says. So take a look at the very last thing that happened between Jesus and his followers before he ascended up to the heavenly places. Acts chapter 1. Verse 6 through 8. By the way, if you want to read about how the church started, about the story of an amazing story where there's a lot of violence, men, I know we love violence a lot of times. I relax to violent movies. I know that's weird, but anyway, read the book of Acts, because there's some really cool stuff going on in there. So Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 6. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel. Remember, they were looking for a Messiah that was going to bring Israel back to power. That's what they wanted. That's what they believed in. And so now they're saying, look, Jesus, you've come back from the dead. Is it time? Do we get to be back in charge again? Are you going to put Israel back where we're supposed to be? And so this is Jesus responding. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Okay, so according to this passage, the last thing that Jesus said to his followers is that they were going to receive power from the Holy, they were going to have the Holy Spirit. There was this gift of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit came to them, then they were to be his witnesses. So that means, here's what that means. Here's what I think that means. You guys feel free, if you can find scripture to contradict this, to kind of, you know, change my thought, feel free to come. But here's what I think it says. I think it says that if you have the Holy Spirit, then you are called to be a witness. Does that make sense? If you have the Holy Spirit, then you're called to be a witness. So then if we take that back with what we talked about over the last couple of weeks, we talked about how the Holy Spirit actually exchanged the life, the dead spirit, with a live spirit, with Christ's spirit, right? And the Holy Spirit gifted us with various gifts so that we can serve. Well, then that means if you're a believer, then you have the Holy Spirit, which means this verse actually does apply to us. I think that makes sense. But maybe that was just the apostles' job, like those men. Maybe just the beginning. Maybe that was just their, you know, somebody has to start it, that kind of thing, right? Maybe we can just ignore it now. Or maybe here's what we can do this. Maybe we can sit together and we can grieve together and we can mourn the fact that 80% of Ogle County doesn't go to a Bible-believing church. Maybe we can sit together and we can mourn about that, and that's enough. Maybe just sitting here together and praying that God would do something in their lives, maybe that's enough. Well, then what do we do with this? Look at Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 14. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? I just said 80% of Ogle County doesn't go to a Bible-believing church. Don't believe. How will they call on him who they do not believe? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? Did you guys know, you may not know this, did you guys know there are people in Ogle County that have no idea that Jesus died for their sins? Like, that's a real thing. I know we think, man, it's 2023. Of course, everybody has heard the story of Jesus. And you know what? That might have been right in 1953, but we're not in 1953 anymore. We're in 2023, and a lot of people don't come to church, which means they don't know that Jesus died for their sins. So let's finish the verse. How are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. How beautiful are the feet of those, that comes from Isaiah, I think 35. I don't remember for sure, but I think it's 35. But it comes from Isaiah. So here's what we have. We have Paul. He wrote this letter to the church in Rome. Okay? So we have Paul telling the Christians in Rome that it's their responsibility to tell the Romans about Christ. That it's their job to tell the Romans about Christ. And we can see through that, we can see that serving others is really important, right? The Christians in Rome had to serve the Romans in order to gain their trust so that they could tell them about Jesus. Because very shortly after this, if the government were to find out that you were a Christian under Nero, here's what they did. This is PG-13. They took a pole and they impaled you on that pole and they dumped oil or some kind of flammable something on them and they turned them into streetlights. That's what they did to Christians. That's very shortly after Paul told them, listen, if you want Romans to believe, and you do, then it's your job to go tell them. And so it's pretty important. Now, here's the thing. I'm just going to be honest. We can look at scriptures all day long that will tell us about the importance of telling others about Jesus. We can look all day long. We can look at these scriptures. But here's what I think. Well, I have this question in my mind. I wonder if we all have the same translation of the Bible. And here's what I mean by that. I've heard some translations like this, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth until you get tired. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and to the ends of the earth until you retire. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth until you have kids. You can't do it with kids, right? You got too much other stuff going on. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth until you have to work overtime. Or unless you don't like the people. Unless it's too hot or it's too cold. Fill in the blank with whatever your personal excuse is. And I could go all day long with filling in excuses of why we don't, right? And let me just be clear for a moment. Every single one of those translations that I just read to you are things that I have actually heard in the last 4 years. And I've only been here in the last 4 years. Actually, as a matter of fact, today marks the start of my fifth year. So that's pretty cool. But here's the thing. We can fill in the blank with whatever excuse we have, but the reality is that's not what the scripture says, is it? There is no loophole. Listen, I've looked. I've searched the scripture, but there's no conditions on this command that God has given to us. There's no conditions here. Listen, here's what I've got a challenge for you guys. You find the loophole for me. I've looked. I can't find it. You guys find the loophole. Bring it back to me, and I will be admonished in front of everybody. You guys can tell me I'm wrong, but you got to find the loophole in scripture that says you don't have to do it anymore. But here's the thing. I don't think you're going to find it, right? As a matter of fact, I know you're not going to find it. I'll stake my job on the fact that you're not going to find it. And listen, I know. I might ruffle a couple of feathers. I might step on a couple of toes. Maybe some of you need to wear steel toes. But sometimes as your pastor, sometimes I just have to say things, right? And I think that's fair. So over the last 4 years, I've been hearing these types of reasons for why we can't or why we shouldn't or why I can't or shouldn't do whatever, right? See, here's the thing. Every single one of us can come up with a condition of why we don't do this. We can all come up with something, right? Man, I tell you what, some days I just want to go to sleep. We can all come up with something. Maybe you've said one of these things, or maybe you've thought one of these things. Or maybe it's been some other excuse as to why you can't serve or why you can't be his witness or why you can't be in the community around you sharing the gospel. Maybe there's some other reason that I didn't say and you could fill it in and have the same result, right? But listen, here's what we know. The Holy Spirit is going to gift you with the ability to serve others in various ways. The Holy Spirit will convict you. See what I just changed a word there, right? The Holy Spirit will gift you with abilities, and the Holy Spirit will convict you if you're not using them. See, we all don't serve in the same way, right? We all have been gifted in different ways, right? Some are incredibly talented in carpentry, and some are incredibly talented with a checkbook. But all of those things are needed, right? Every kind of serving is needed. And the thing is, we don't all serve in the same way, but we should all be serving. Can we say amen to that one? When I first came here 5 years ago, I began to ask people in the church, only in the church, I began to ask this question. I asked if we disappeared, if Leaf River Baptist Church, if we closed the doors and walked away, would anyone in the community even care? And the answer that I got from every single person 4 years ago was no. No one would even care. No one would know we were gone. And guys, that was heartbreaking, frankly. And I don't think that's true anymore, though. I genuinely don't, because here's what's happened over the course of the last 4 years. You guys have been in the community building relationships, and people in the community know what Leaf River Baptist Church is now. People in the community know who Leaf River Baptist Church is. Now, I was talking to somebody just the other day, and they were like, yeah, I know exactly where you're at. I know exactly who you are. People that have never been here before know who Leaf River Baptist Church is. And I believe God has used this church, this local church, meaning this local fellowship of believers, meaning you, I believe God has used you to have a huge impact on people's lives. I truly believe that. But here's the question I have. Have you been a part of that huge impact? Or have you been missing out? Have you been a part of that impact? Or have you been getting in the way? Because you're not willing to say, well, it's too hot, it's too cold, it's too, you know, you have your excuses, which means you can't serve, which means you're getting in the way of God using this church to reach this community where he placed us. We talked about 5 years ago, we talked about the cupola, and I learned things about the cupola that I thought were really interesting. But we talked about, too, about the fact that this area, this region, is kind of dark. If you think about the fact that 80% of Ogle County doesn't go to church, then you can realize the darkness in the community, right? And so we said, man, we want to be a lighthouse. Like, we want people in the community to see this place and to see God's glory just kind of pouring out of this place. And I think that's happening, but are you participating in that happening? That's the question. Here's the thing. Somebody else said it much better than me earlier this week. But there's a small group of people that have been faithfully going into the community constantly. Now, I'm not talking about just, you know, LRBC community events. I'm talking about maybe you serve in a clothing closet, or maybe you serve at the food pantry, or maybe you serve at the Village of Progress, or wherever it is, you're serving in some place, sharing the gospel in some place, right? So I'm not talking just about like LRBC outreach events. I'm talking about reaching out into the community wherever you are. There's a small group of people that are incredibly faithful reaching out into the community outside of the walls around us. When it comes to missions, When it comes to sending a check to other people doing God's work, man, LRBC, we are the first ones with our checkbook out, aren't we? And I think that's awesome. We give, I think it's like 13 or 14% of every offering that is given in goes straight out to missions, to churches, to missionaries, to our missions of the month. Like that's what happens, right? And I think that's amazing. When it comes to helping those within the church, inside of the church walls, you find out somebody's sick, somebody had a surgery, somebody, whatever happens, man, you guys are amazing at gathering around each other and like loving each other inside of our walls. My question is, what about reaching those outside of our walls? What about those that aren't here on a Sunday morning or any Sunday morning ever? Because they don't know that Jesus is even a real thing. They don't know that there was a man named Jesus that actually walked the earth. Let alone, they definitely don't know that he died for their sins. We live in a culture where everybody has to live their own truth. Are we willing to step out of these walls and describe that there is only one truth? And that's Jesus Christ. What if we all, this is a question I had, I was just thinking about this. What if we all just decided today, we're going to go out into the community. Like if I'm at a restaurant, if I'm at the store, wherever I am, I'm going to go out into the community and I'm going to not be ashamed of who Christ is in my life. What if we all just decided whether I could be at work and I'm going to use the things that I know to be true about Christ in the way that I work and my job, I'm going to use these things to, and I'm going to show people. You know, I was many years ago, I was at my job and I prayed before my lunch. This is something I do. And so I prayed before my lunch and one of my coworkers walked up to me and actually said, you know, that doesn't do anything, right? Boom, we opened up a conversation. He then came to church with me many, many years later. He showed up at church. I'm good friends with him, still on Facebook, and he has changed his demeanor from, man, that God stuff, that's not even real, to, hey, maybe that's a real thing. Maybe there's something, I'm just not ready myself, but maybe there's some truth to who Jesus is. What if a small group of people decided we wanted to reach outside and we only had a small group of people that didn't, or we had no groups of people that didn't. Do you think it would be possible to transform this community around us? Do you think if we all universally decided that we're going to live our lives in such a way to draw people to Christ, to talk about Christ, to not be ashamed of Christ, if we decided to live our lives in that way, do you think Leaf River, Mount Morris, do you think these communities can be transformed? Or do we think in 2023 that stuff doesn't really happen? God doesn't really do that stuff anymore. Here's the thing. We've seen it. Remember in that series, The Greatest Book of All Time, the best-selling book of all time we did at the beginning of January, we saw how people that simply started reading the Bible transformed communities, transformed nations, because they took what they knew about Scripture and applied it to their everyday life. So, let me ask again. Can we see a future where God has transformed this community to being 80% of people go to church instead of 80% of people don't go to church? Do we believe that? Like three of you said yes. So to the rest of you, I'm going to ask you to go back, Spotify, Apple, Google, and listen to the series, the best-selling book of all time that we did back in January. Because here's the thing. We talk all day long. We talk about how God is the same God yesterday that he is today. We know God transformed communities yesterday, but we don't believe he can do it today. So what do we believe is true? Are we lying when we say God's the same God yesterday and today? Or are we too scared to admit that God could actually do amazing things in this community around us? I just want to challenge you guys. Listen, I don't have the answers. I far from have the answers. I have no idea what to do. Listen, I've said that from day one. Like, if you guys wanted a pastor that knew what he was doing, look for somebody else, because I am a bozo that's just like a blind guy in a room trying to find a light switch. But God uses the bozos. And I'm looking at a lot of bozos right now. And I know that God can use you to transform your house, to transform your community, to transform your job. I know, because I've seen it happen. We've read about it happening. Real events that have taken place throughout history. If I believe that God is the same God yesterday that he is today, then I have to believe that God can use this small country church to make an impact on this community around us. Amen? That's a little bit better. This whole community can be transformed. As a church, LRBC believes that God has laid upon the local church the primary task, in other words, of most important task, of giving the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost world, of which Ogle County is, of which Leaf River is, of which Mount Morris is. And this morning, we're going to participate in one of the two ordinances. We're going to participate in communion. And we're going to experience this. And I want to tell you about communion. I'm going to tell you a little bit about communion. Communion is a practice that started, that Jesus started right before he was arrested, beaten, and crucified. Communion is a thing that he did with his disciples. And it was a time with the disciples where he told them what was about to happen. And he told them about this event that was meant to remind them about his sacrifice that he was going to make for them. He told them, this is what's going to happen. And this is why I want you to remember who I am. He told them this was the last Passover meal that he would ever have with them until he comes back in glory. And that's the other thing we believe. We'll talk about this another week, but we believe that Jesus is actually going to come back. Like, that's a real thing that's going to happen. We don't know when. It could be tomorrow. It could be today. It could be 5,000 years from now. But we know it's going to happen. And so Jesus said he's not going to eat the Passover meal until he comes back in glory. And that every time that they partake in this communion, in this ordinance, that they should remember the sacrifice that is about to take place. Every time they participate in communion, they should be reminded of Jesus's death and resurrection. Every single time. And for us today, I want to ask that we not keep that a secret. That we not just come here on Sunday mornings and play church, but that we actually be church out wherever you are. That we actually tell people about Jesus and we don't keep it under our breath because we're nervous about how someone's going to respond. Right? Listen, as a church, we are so blessed. God has blessed us as a church. And I know there have been hard times that this church has experienced over the last 30 years, 35 years. But God has blessed this church to stay together, to be together, to continue to grow together, both numerically and spiritually, right? And we are so blessed that we have people actually contacting us saying, am I allowed to come to church? Like, that's an amazing question as a pastor to get, let me just tell you that. And that's an amazing question for you to receive from your friend. Hey, would you mind if I came with you? Did you guys know, I don't know the statistic, I don't remember the statistic, but it's something like 80% of people would actually come to church if you just invited them. Like, there's a large percentage, they're just waiting for someone to say, would you come with me? That's it. That's all it takes. We're so blessed that people are coming so that we can share the gospel with them. That's who we are as a church. That's who we are as individuals. My final question is, are we too tired or too busy to say yes? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for who you are. God, thank you for what you do, for what you've done, for what you continue to do, not just in the life of our church as a whole, but Lord, in the life of each and every one of us that attends here, God, how you have protected us. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for the wisdom and guidance that we get through your word to know how to live our lives, how to deal with the twists and turns of life that we're going to have, that we constantly have, God. Father God, I ask that you take this time as we focus on communion, as we take this ordinance, that you would take this time, Lord, and that you would remind us of who you are in our lives individually, and what you've done in our lives individually, Lord, and encourage us to take what you've done in our lives and share it with everyone around.